Hello, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and welcome to Truth Be Told, Transformation. I'm here to speak with people to help you with tools to transform and live your highest life. So today I'm very, very happy to introduce Karuna Dera. Karuna Dera is not only a life coach, but she's a transcendation coach, and we're going to find out what that is and more about really working with some tools for breakthroughs in self-healing. Welcome, Karuna Dera.
Hola, gracias.
Hola. You look fabulous. Thinking. Now, I would like to ask you, life coach just doesn't cover it. So please tell us why transcendation? That's very unique.
Yes, absolutely. So transcendation is a combination of our two favorite words, or two of our favorite words, transcending and celebration. And if it's okay with you, Bonnie, I was wondering if we could start with a little bit of gratitude.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Absolutely. Please guide us on that.
Great. So I just want to give gratitude to you and the producers, everyone helping out behind the scenes. Thank you for inviting me today. I can't believe I'm, joining in with people like Dr. Siva and Jai Uttal. That's really generous and wonderful. And beyond that, I wanted to just express some gratitude for those who came before us. So whether it's our ancestors or some of the teachers, masters, whatever you name they've gone as in history, that have come before us to really make this sacred space possible, where we could share tools, where we could create these conversations and discussions worldwide on a worldwide platform, where people in the past have risked their lives for us to be doing this today.
So, that is very powerful. Thank you. Let's just take a moment to breathe that in. Gratitude indeed. And you're right. I mean, this really is exciting that we can have the reach that we do in this time, and especially as women. And I think that that's something that is important for us to talk about. And I know it's one of the areas that you are always focusing on is the empowerment of women and helping women unblock energies to help address traumas in our lives. So can you tell us a little bit about, for example, the Women's Transcendation Group that you do, that you offer every month?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have events every Saturday morning, right? 9 a.m. Pacific. And one of those follows the tradition of tribe, which is, again, our ancestors met as a village. A lot of their healing work, whether it was the chanting, the dancing around the fire, or the conversations, when somebody got sick, it wasn't just one doctor who came to their bedside. It might be several different people. When somebody died, the tribe came together and brought food, prepared the body, did the rituals. Everything was done together. So collaboration is such a big part of Soul's Enterprise for that reason. So Women's Transcendation is a monthly event where we kind of rebuild this idea of the red tent, right? So the red tent is a tradition, an age-old tradition, where women or female-identified folks nowadays can get together and speak on topics that are relevant to us having an experience as a female-identified person in the modern world. In modern society, in modern life. So it could be anything from your daily things that happen to us to our moon cycles to some of the obstacles that we're facing in the world because we look female or feel female or whatever the case might be. So that's Women's Transcendation. We start with an intention. And then as a community, I just kind of hold space and bring the group along for the journey, but we all support, nurture, and love each other.
Wow, that's incredible. So what made you, I know in your bio, you've done a lot of different types of study. So please let me know how you've come to this point and some of the areas of specialization. And also one other thing that, before you answer that, I do want to introduce Soul's Enterprise. So this is Karuna Dera's wonderful online platform. And as she mentioned, every single week, There are different free events that are going on from wherever she may be in the world, because that could be any number of different locations. So do check out soulsenterprise.org. We've got the website there for you to find. And tell us a little bit about the journey of getting to this point and some of the areas you love specializing in.
Always a wild card with that question. It's like, where do we start, right? Life is such a beautiful journey. Well, it becomes beautiful once we detach from our suffering. So I like to start at the age of 15. I say that a medicine man came crashing into my dream world, because I think that for a lot of us, although it's getting better because of global platforms like this show, a lot of us are intuitive or have a lineage or things of that nature that we just need to awaken, that we're unconscious or subconscious about. So at 15, that was my experience. It freaked me out, to be quite honest.
I'm going to stop you right there, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I know we've got a couple years ahead. A couple. So when you say it came, do you mean literally this happened to you in a dream? And how had you been preparing to be open to a message?
Yeah, so this part of my story was again in the unconscious and subconscious. So I didn't prepare, which is why for 6 years or so, it continued to be quite a dormant gift. I do have a lineage of intuition, but because I am of Mexican descent in this lifetime, I don't know exactly what that is. I'm just aware of it now that I have prepared and done the work. But from 15 to 21, so this dream happens at the age of 15. And, you know, I think it depends on how you experience your own intuition and your own gifts, that you could say it was a vision or it was a dream or it was a little bit of both. But it's a very real experience that has never left me.
That's great.
So since then, you know, we open up the vessel and more information comes flying in. Yeah,
indeed. No, I just wanted to, interject that I wanted you to kind of share that, because I'm hoping that that is an invitation for others to mm-hmm. tune in.
Yeah. And here's the other interesting part. So I think all of us can agree that in our life, if the universe will knock until it bangs your door down, right? Mm-hmm. So at 21, what actually got me started on a conscious spiritual path was a DUI.
Yikes.
Yes. And you've worked with musicians, so you know all about addiction work and the high lifestyle. But I say that too, because if we want to help people here, you know, I hope that that inspires you no matter where on the path you are. For some of us, it's sexual abuse. I'm also an incest survivor from childhood. So sometimes when we start to look for healing of other things, one of my biggest awakenings was a result of trying to heal some heartbreak and recognizing that something was way beyond what I could see at the point, that was more of a pattern. And you just start to, you know, peel the layers, like you said, in our write-up for today, and dive deeper and deeper. If you choose, more will come to the surface, but also you become more available. So when I said, life is beautiful, once we start being attached to our suffering, that's what I mean. You do enough healing work, you put in the time and the effort and the sweat, and then life becomes just a magical experience, not without problems, but with this empowerment.
Indeed. So let's go back to when you had a rock bottom experience. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming the DUI and was part of that. So what happened at that point, Karuna Dara? What, where were you, and what were some initial steps?
Yeah, definitely. So at 21, I don't think I had been to therapy, but I had been seeking spirituality. I had taken my brother, who's 9 years younger than I am, around all these local churches in Los Angeles, mostly Southeast Los Angeles at the time, because I knew that Catholicism, the way I had learned it, wasn't for me. But I also knew that I wanted and I needed God, whatever that meant. And that continues to evolve on this path. So I was seeking, 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 not finding. At the same time, these family patterns of toxicity were running my life without me knowing it. So I was partying way too hard and I crashed a brand new, the only car that I've ever bought, like out of the dealership. All my other cars I've bought cash, but the only car I ever bought for myself out of the dealership. And luckily I crashed into a parked big rig, so nobody got hurt. And it was my wake up call. I was arrested, spent, you know, the night in the local jailhouse. And I just realized, okay, I've known that some of this needs to stop. I don't have the tools. I don't know where to begin, basically.
Yeah, well, I had something similar happen, and it was not jail, but it was definitely when it was a car, and it was a big wake-up call. So it's interesting to share with you. And I don't remember the next step necessarily. I think it maybe involved some aha moments around Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now. So it's interesting to look at the teachers and that we turn to in the times of crisis. So, and you were young. I was more mature. So you were quite young. So I mean, in that way, fortunate that you had a chance to kind of course correct.
Yeah, I had one of my spiritual teachers say to me a few months ago that I've had a lot of moments of grace in my life. So this was something he was able to see with through his spiritual x-ray, if you will. Mm. And I think that that was one of them. So that very, within a week, I don't know if it was even the next weekend, whatever it was, I was home, you know, really reflecting on what am I doing with my life. I am young and I don't want this to continue. And I don't know how to end these toxic patterns of alcoholism. I have alcoholism on both sides of the family. So I knew that I didn't want to become that either, right? So I was sitting with a friend late at night and Oprah comes on and she has the panel from The Secret, the book and the movie The Secret. And amongst the panel is Dr. Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith. And he's speaking. And before he finishes his sentence, it must have been his energy, which I wouldn't have used the word back then, right? But I don't know what he said, but I remember the thoughts in my mind were, that's who I want to be around. So this seeking of all these churches that my brother had been, you know, dragged along, this exploration that had begun, I had been making a calling to the universe and the universe answered, God, whatever you want to call it, source. And it happened because right as I'm thinking that, then the Reverend says at Agape or my spiritual center in LA. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in LA. So that Sunday I went to Agape for the first time, and as they say, the rest is history. I just kept following the breadcrumbs. So back to, you know, your gift, Bonnie, of this melding of higher consciousness and media. I mean, I just, you know, what a beautiful synchronicity that I get to be on here to share that, because we don't know who's watching today or any of your other shows that gets to hear that when they need their own wake-up call and a source, you know, a resource to go read that book. You mentioned Eckhart Tolle for you, or go to the spiritual center or go to the event. Now, more than ever, it's more and more available for people.
It's incredible. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of Agape myself. So that was a big part of my LA experience too. So Reverend Beckwith, we invite you to come join us on Truth Be Told Transformation sometime. So, I mean, listen, some of the what you're describing here is are something that we all need, men and women. And yet I do love how you've brought sensuality into and fun, the playfulness of the divine feminine into so much of the work you're doing. So talk to me a little bit about you're very courageous. What I've attended some of your online, what do we call it? The dancing.
Soul Steady.
What is it called again?
Soul Steady Movement.
Soul Steady. Yeah. So, everybody. I mean, like I said, you make it a party. And I think this is where the transcendation comes in, right? So we're transcending in a celebratory way. So Hey, there's so much confidence and courage and playfulness. So those are words that I would definitely use to describe you, but also I think you're inviting us all to explore that ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So Soul Steady Movement was born probably when I was little and I didn't know it. You know, I've always been one of those people that loves to dance in the room or and just feel I often felt like a crazy person. So when I found out about ecstatic dance, thank God I lived in LA. So because ecstatic dance has been a thing before it was a popularized, right? I was just blissed out because for me and for many of us who lean more into our feminine, sitting meditation is not necessarily what is going to get us out of the mind, right? Meditation is meant to get us out of the mind. And so for me, certainly that is true. And I do it through getting into my body. It's also been a very powerful tool. I call it for me and for many sexual abuse survivors, it's the last frontier. For us to be fully in our body, because we had to disassociate most likely during that traumatic or various traumatic experiences for some of us, unfortunately, it's the last frontier for our healing, right? We could do all the therapy, we could do all the healing modalities, but to really get into our body. So, music, I mean, it's global. You love music, you know what I mean, right? I'm Latina, so I grew up with it. It's just in my bones. It's how my parents met, actually, was through music. So it makes absolute sense that I would use that as one of my favorite healing tools, both for myself and for people who come to Soul Steady Movement. And the aliveness, that's what I get from dance and music is aliveness. And I think that so many of us are seeking more aliveness. Some of us call it freedom. Some of us call it peace. But really, I mean, we were given a body for a reason this time around. So, and sensuality and sexuality is part of it. It's all part of the experience.
So make it move. Well, this is the this I'm really glad that you brought up women and silent meditation. Now, this is not the first time that I've heard this, and I wish I could figure out, I can't remember quite to whom I would attribute it, but it was basically a mention that perhaps women need to be more find movement and flow to help find meditation. And I definitely am better at meditating when having a mantra, mudra. We had Jai, as you mentioned, Jai Utal was on. You know, the Bhakti yoga that is, and I can lose myself in that a lot more easily than just sitting silently. So, I don't know if those are two different things, and that's what's interesting, you know, to find out because ultimately we are trying to find a calm and a stillness inside. But if you're sitting there thinking, wow, I'm super uncomfortable, you know, or the brain's going, which of course the brain is always going, but let's just like really go to the physical vessel. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to sit. So maybe I think, and I know from having experienced Soul Steady, movement and then that cool down maybe gets you to a point where you can sit silently and turn inwards for that awareness and that listening.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, this is what's so beautiful about, you know, the work that we do is and the reason we like to experience so many modalities is I heard Dr. Siva say about Ayurveda as well. It's very personal. What works for you may not work for me. So I have that the experience you just shared about that happens to me with like really good yoga. I met a yoga teacher with a lineage like great great grandfather had done it in India, and that's been the only time I've experienced the sensation of doing yoga and then my body literally saying, "Okay, let's go sit and meditate now." And I was like, "Whoa, what's happening?" That's not usually my thing. So for me though, I just want to differentiate. For me, the meditation happens in the dance. Like I like to say I lose myself, like the lower S self, right? So that my big self, capital S self, comes alive and I'm not in my head. And we see this in a lot of, again, going back to the tribe, when we think of even movies maybe, where there are African tribes, even South and Central America tribes singing, chanting, dancing around the fire, they're going into trance, right? And so they're using the music, the energy, the elements, and the aliveness, the power of the tribe, the energy of their own body, their sensuality in a different way maybe than we might define it currently, to touch the divine. So there's different ways of getting there, and we celebrate all of them.
That's great. Yeah, that's you know, I was thinking about as you were describing sort of that maybe shamanic traditions is maybe mm-hmm. perhaps a word we would use, and certainly tribal, and how, you know, I'm of Northern European lineage, and I mean, sure, you have some, but for the most part, the traditions have been pretty stamped out, which is a whole nother conversation about world history and the history of religion. So, but it's really, I think, essential. And I know one of the points that we wanted to make is about healing trauma. I know this is an area of specialization, and I know that trauma can be held in the body as well as the emotions. So I know that I think some of this movement that you're describing can be really beneficial. So tell us a little bit about your experience working within trauma relief.
Yeah, definitely. So the pattern that we see the most is that the beginning and the end. So we'll talk about the four kind of components, which also align with the four directions, although there's probably more than four directions, but mind, heart, body, and soul. So we see a lot of people come to us for support, whether it's individual, dyadic, transcendation, any of the events. And a lot of us are starting in the mind, because in Western society especially, and other societies, we're achievement focused, we have to-do lists, we live most of our life in the mind. And then we also have the folks on the other end of things, and it's non-linear, but just so we can, you know, give some reference to it, in the spiritual world, right? And that's beautiful, obviously, but we could be so blissed out that we're still ignoring these middle ones, the heart and the body. So the heart is really feeling your feelings, not just being able to name them, which some of us who are trauma survivors, that just being able to name them or say I'm feeling something other than overwhelm is already a huge step forward, right? Recently we were in a session and we asked someone, okay, let's slow down, what are you feeling? And the only answer they could come up with was, I feel hungry. Well, that's not really what we were asking for, but we're so far from that. You know, when we greet each other, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm doing well, how are you? It's a social nicety. In the South, they do much better at this. And you could be in an elevator in Atlanta, and if somebody asks you how you're doing, you should wait 5 minutes, or you should, you know, plan for 5 minutes to sit in that elevator and listen to the other person's actual response. So our trauma work, yes, to your point, you know, some of the somatic healing, somatic is one of those words that is, again, getting very popularized, but has been around for a long time, is basically a body-centered approach to trauma resolution. So absolutely, there's a lot of science behind the fact that our body keeps the score, is the name of the book, right? Our body literally keeps things lodged in there. So for some people, even just becoming aware of how they hold their stress, or when we go on these soul study movement journeys, sometimes we have a theme. The theme for this Saturday is starting anew. So just contemplating what is new, what does that word mean to me, really? Not what the dictionary says, not what society has told me that new means, but what does it really mean to me? So it's the same with feelings, the same with body parts. You know, Louise Hay wrote that amazing book, about, you could look it up. If you have some kind of ailment, if your stomach hurts or you have a nosebleed, you look it up and she tells you, she gives you the affirmation and she tells you what the source is, right?
Yeah.
And she wrote that book, what was it, in the 80s or the 90s? I mean, it's amazing. But then you got to take these tools and integrate them and really make them your own. So everything we do is to, again, that word of empowerment, so that you're your best healer. You're your best facilitator. For a while, you might need some support and you might come in and out of support or needing support, but you have all the answers. It's just remembering that you have all the answers.
Karuna Dara, you make it sound really easy, but I mean, and I know it hasn't been, but I want to ask you, how much do we need that teacher to really get us on the path versus, I don't know, listening to a show like this or, you know, reading a book or something like that? Where do you feel, at what point do you feel it is important for somebody to work with somebody to, you know, find a teacher or a healer or a coach like you are? Mm-hmm. Could you let me know what that's like?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I'm at such a different place in my life, I'm trying to think what I would have said before. I will tell you what it is now, and maybe it'll take me there. So I will be going to see a real legit curandera from Oaxaca in October, November. And it was, I had been asking in my heart for a Mexican woman healer teacher who would be willing to share with me some of their own medicine. So because I also shared with you that at 21, when I hit rock bottom, it was also a calling that had begun in my heart, I would have to say that that's for those of us that are heart based, right? So the name Karuna, the Karuna part of my name, by the way, is compassion in Tibetan. So I'm very heart-based, always have been since I was a kid. So I would say for those of us that identify that way, then look to your heart. What is your heart saying to you? And then I know some of you will say, well, but I can't tell the difference between my heart or my ego. Then ask to be shown, ask to be taught, and either someone will come across your path. Back to what we were saying, Bonnie, you know, it'll be a book, it'll be a person, it'll be a website, all of the breadcrumbs. But that would be my answer, is my heart.
Ask and the teacher will appear. I love that very much so. And this is my great privilege that every week I have somebody teach me. I'm fascinated with your upcoming trip to Oaxaca, and I hope that I get to hear some details of that. I think there's a lot of really interesting traditions in Mexico, and I really am intrigued to hear about the healing and shamanic traditions that come from the medicine women down there, the curanderas. Yeah. So, which is a little variation on your name, right? So, mm-hmm. How apropos and appropriate. So you're speaking about the heart, and when I asked you what you'd like to talk about today, you mentioned to me a conscious uncoupling. And I thought that would be a really interesting topic as we're going into, you know, as we're going deep. I invite you to share with us a little bit about what that is and how that's going, how that maybe applies, however much you wish to share at the moment.
Yeah, so another value at Souls Enterprise is transparency, right? And self-honesty. So when we're talking about peeling back the layers, and you know, you might hear people on the path say that there is a price to pay to undo the patterns. So the transparency I'll share now is Prasad and I started Souls Enterprise in March this year. So it's our baby. We've been together for 6 years. And I think that the power of starting a spiritual business where we really said to the universe, we're serious about making a contribution to the world in a big way. I say that the mission of Souls Enterprise is to eradicate trauma. And that's a pretty big mission. And I like to say that we do that one soul at a time. We just heal ourselves, right? So with that comes a lot of responsibility and the bigger breakthroughs too. So for me, my willingness to commit to, you might call it my life purpose. I say that with a little bit of resistance because I don't really subscribe to words like that, like words like enlightenment, karma, life purpose. That's another, a story for another day. But if that's what we want to consider it, when I was willing to commit to something bigger than myself, then I realized, it clarified for me, that it's quite possible that the reason Prasad and I came together may not be for a romantic relationship. It's quite possible that it might be for this bigger purpose. So we ran into similar patterns in different ways over the 6 years we were together. And after 6 years of really hard work, a lot of love, a lot of wisdom gained, a lot of lessons, we just thought, would it be kinder to ourselves to stick to continuing this business because that is a huge commitment, and maybe ending some of the trauma. And it's way more complex than that, right? So I'm trying to simplify and putting it in a brief way. But he and I have studied conscious uncoupling for a while. So that's Catherine Woodworth Thomas. And I had read the book and I did one of her programs, I would have to say maybe 10 years ago. So it's definitely been part of my repertoire for a while. But we've done it with each other, and then now we're able to do dyadic transcendation, which is both of us in a session with other couples. And the thing about conscious uncoupling, if you're not super familiar with it, is that it's not only meant for people as they're separating or ending or transitioning out of the romantic part. It's also for, it literally just is meant to end patterns. So even if you stay together, you want to develop better patterns of communication and intimacy, then conscious uncoupling is also applicable. So
Well,
that's what he and I are going through now.
thank you for sharing. And I mean, Souls Enterprise is very much about the two of you. And again, this does not need to affect your work. So I think that's very brave. I appreciate you sharing that, of course. And but in general, just moving forward, I think it's very brave. And you are walking your talk, right? By continuing on. And taking your the I mean we never stop learning. So what you can apply your immediate experience in relationship to those who you are helping. So I think that's I had not actually not heard that term, and I really appreciate it. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot, or maybe I do want to be that hard interviewer. So tell me. So I think it's really going to be fascinating to watch you on your path. And it I definitely I like thinking about relationships that come to an end as that it doesn't have to be this great tragedy, and it can there can still be love, and right, and we can continue on. And it takes I mean, the only constant is change. That's the biggest cliche that I've said all day, but I think it applies to everything. And it's just an invitation to stay, I would say, in our practice and kind of that inner calm and peace, which is ultimately what we really all need to move through all the challenges, the rocky roads that we're on.
Yeah, and using, I love that because I would definitely agree that if you're in the business of helping other people, truly helping other people, because one of the things I'll get on my soapbox on about any day is that with the popularization of spirituality, yoga, crystal shopping, etc., you get a lot of riffraff. You get a lot of people saying, telling you the right things, or using really good marketing to sell their programs or whatnot. And the other part of what we do, the other part of the specialty piece is the spiritual trauma for people who have experienced spiritual trauma. And unfortunately, it kind of comes with the territory. I mean, Prasad and I are both survivors of spiritual trauma ourselves, more than once.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what that is?
Yeah, definitely. So spiritual trauma could be any number of things. So as I was saying, it could be because you happen to hire or work with healers. I know you had a gentleman named Greg who was talking about shamanic work, and he said, you know, the first red flag is if the person is calling themselves a shaman, right? I loved that. So I don't know if I agree or disagree with that statement, but the part he and I agree on is that there's just a ton out there. So please, we talk about discernment and back to trusting, learning to trust yourself. I know that maybe you feel like you don't at this point, but how important that is, I can't say it enough. With all that said, survivors of spiritual trauma or spiritual abuse, so whether it's, it could be a narcissistic teacher, guru person that just like money, once you're put in a position of authority or fame, it intensifies what was underneath the surface, right? We see that with celebrities all the time. But we have this expectation that in the spiritual world, that doesn't happen. It's all bliss and unicorns and rainbows. It isn't, because we're still human. We still have those four elements we talked about earlier. So when we seek healers for ourselves, Prasad and I nowadays, we do our due diligence and our research, and we listen to their talks like this, et cetera, that they're doing the work, that they haven't alienated themselves. That's another big red flag. If the teacher only has students around him or herself, well, who's going to be their check and balance? Who's keeping them accountable to their own healing work? As I was saying earlier about starting Souls Enterprise, it's a big responsibility. It comes with a big responsibility, and we have to keep growing. Like you just said, Bonnie, we have to keep growing into these different parts of ourselves. Otherwise, we're just bringing the old traumas, the old wounds, the projections, the pieces of mirrors that we get with each other into the spiritual community and causing more harm than good.
That's very interesting. And you know, it's probably something that's more recent, even though it's been happening to people for years, be it mm-hmm. I don't know, interesting false prophets, priests, mm-hmm. things like that. It's kind of crazy to think about, but I've been there, you know, somebody that it is really, really can be disheartening. So I think it's great to have somebody, I guess, come into community and talk about how you're not the only one. You feel duped, right? I mean, because you want to believe, but I think the big message in all of this is that the guru is you, right? I mean, that's what you're helping us become.
Yes, and that can also be a dangerous comment, right?
Okay.
Because if we haven't done the work, if we haven't prepared enough, the same pitfalls that I described for a teacher are true for ourselves. So you might think, or some of us, or even I in the past might have thought, well, you know, I studied psychology and I've trained in this, that, and the other. So the spiritual ego, let's call it, or simply the ego comes in and tricks me and says, well, you're above this, or you're better than those people, et cetera, et cetera. So the same pitfalls are there for any human being, no matter what title you give yourself or others are giving you, those pitfalls still exist. So again, you know, those are the two biggest things, I think, is the not alienating yourself and continuing to get support. So whether it is formal therapy or any alternative kind of method, but keeping other healers around you, even if they're just a few steps ahead of you, or very specific help that you might need. Like I don't think I've ever hired a nutritionist, for example. Maybe at some point in my life that becomes really important, but just having someone outside of yourself that could check you when you need to be checked. That's what we say in the hood, you know, yeah. She got to get checked. So, and community.
I like it. Yeah. Okay. I like that very, very much, because I think there's sort of, you know, a balance. There's a yin-yang scenario of the, because I wanted to talk about self-healing today, right? And so you've given us a reflection, and yet at the same time, also knowing that there's many opportunities, watch this show, to keep learning. And I like that, keep yourself in check, because, I mean, I think we're conditioned to think that we can be, and we should be, can be and should be fiercely independent. Mm-hmm. But I think this goes back to the divine feminine that we talked about at the beginning, is also just sort of being a little bit softer and allowing for that flow and, you know, tapping into community and sharing that way. I think that's mm-hmm. very much what we do as women. And again, you all at Souls Enterprise have created a great platform for that. So do you have any closing words for us to wrap up this wonderful conversation?
Famous last words. No, I think a moment of silence. You know, I honestly, a lot of the work that I do is nonverbal, and I have a very sweet spot for that. So
peace. Gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Until the next time, thank you, Karuna Diara. I do hope that you all have a chance to find her at soulsenterprise.org. I'll catch you on one of those soul steady dances sometime when I'm brave to move. And again, safe travels in all your journey. We appreciate you sharing with us. Thanks, everybody. It's really been a great conversation. And again, we're just here to share different tools so that you can feel better. It can be crazy out there, but there's a lot of different disciplines that can help you learn and enjoy as well. Until the next time, my name is Bonnie Burkert, and thank you again for joining us at Truth Be Told Transformation. Thank you.